spread that one out.
It was on the fuel. You have like stuff there and stuff there.
Oh, you're trying to use that I hide things
for. I was gone for one day and Yassi had taken over like all three tables with.
That's true.
It's like, I can't even. So this is an awesome set, yeah. Kadshei Akum in Lamdas and Hashkafa. We'll do a little bit of Hashkafa at the end. My Shanabet, when we're learning Sukkah in Yeshiva, so Reluchatzin gave a Shir Klali on Mitzvah Haba Bavera. And the first thing he said was, in order to understand this sugya, we have to ask three questions. We have to ask about what the Gemara means when it says Mitzvah, what the Gemara means when it says Haba, and what the Gemara means when it says Avera. So, exactly. So the sugya over here, the two questions you'll need to focus on are Kadshei and Akum. Chefza question and the Gavra question. Are these karbanos fundamentally different or similar from the karbanos of Yisrael? And what is the role of the guy as a bailim, right? Is he a standard owner of a karban? How does he relate to this karban? Does he relate to the same as a Jew or fundamentally different? Those are the two main questions to ask. There really is a third big question to ask in the sugya we're not really going to have time to focus on today, and that is the relationship between Goyim and the whole world of Mikdash. The fact that the Gemara in Zvachim says that Goyim can bring a karban in a bama, bizman hazeh. So, you know, in theory, a guy could have the same karbanos, the same role as a bailim, just the way he relates to the makam hamikdash could be fundamentally different from the way that we do, but we're not really going to have much time to talk about that today. We're going to focus on his status of his karban and the status of him as a bible. So even though our sugya is Menachos and it's like the second most important sugya on the topic, we really need to start with the Gemara in Zvachim on Menhe, because that is really sets up a lot of the fundamental options in the sugya. Already the Lamdas comes out of the Mishnah itself, where we have a Machlokas. In the Mishnah, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. We'll see in a minute. It's a little more complicated than that. And they argue in the Mishnah, in the Brisa, right afterwards, about a whole bunch of topics. The Mishnah says, for Rabbi Shimon, there's no pigul, no sarantame for kadshei akum. Rabbi Shimon thinks there's no iser shutei chutz for kadshei akum. No mi'ila for kadshei akum. No temura for kadshei akum. And they do not need to bring nisachim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with all of these. Rabbi Yossi thinks that no, there is Pigul Noser and Tame, there is an Yisra Shutei Chutz, there is an Yisra Mi'ilah, there is Temura, and their Karbanos Din Nesachim. Seems like Rabbi Yossi thinks that they need to bring their own Nesachim. So it'll be very tempting to just say, okay, we have immediately a Machlokas Tanaim in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon will tell you, this is a totally different Chafetz of Karbanos than what we're used to. Kadshei Akum are totally different. Don't even talk at the Bailam level. Just at the Chefta level, there is no Pigul, no Sarantame. Pigul is an essential part of Karbanos. Kadshei Akum doesn't apply. And Riosi disagrees. Riosi says, nope, it applies. It's regular. It's a regular Karban, And all these Dinim do apply. We should just, right, that would be a tempting way to learn this. Like, yeah, it would also be tempting to then mix in our Gemara Menachos and say maybe the machlokes that we have between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva is the same machlokes. When they argue whether a guy can bring all other forms of nedavos, shlamim, toda, or whether he can only bring a carbon ola, so it would be very nice if we could just, you know, lock that on and say, here's an additional question. If you think that kadshei akum are part of the same ma'arechet, so then a guy could bring other voluntary karbanos as well. Whereas if you think that kadshei akum is a totally different unit, so then it would make sense to say that it only applies to, he only has ola and everything else isn't there. There's one way, at first glance, that we could set up the basic lumdus in the sugya. Not necessarily, but that would be one way to attack it. It's also important just for us to remember, in terms of our people, the Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah in Zvachim, who says that you have Pigol, Nosar, Tami, all those things, and Rabbi Yossi had Glili in Menachos, who was saying that a guy can bring a Shlamim, those are not the same person. Right? Rabbi Yossi a Glili is a chaver of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi is one of the five Talmidim, you know, especially as you get to Lagomer, so you should just keep that in mind. They're not the same person, even though potentially we'd be putting them on the same side of the question in the basic Hakira about Kadshayakum. Okay. Now, we also should just appreciate, in terms of what the Tanaim actually think, that even though in our Mishnah it looks like there are two views, so the Shittu Gebetzes points out that for sure the Rambam seems to have thought there were actually three views. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes a Shut for Betzal Ashkenazi, and it's in the Shittu Gebetzes as well. That actually the way to, you know, not going to get to details of it now, you could look back in the Mishnah and reconstruct it, but that it's the Tanna Kamma versus Rabbi Yossi. The Tanna Kamma is the one on almost all of these who thinks that Kadshei Akum do not have Pigul, do not have Nosar, do not have Tameh, do not have Mi'ila or Temura. And then there's a third view of Rabbi Shimon, which even includes Shchutei Chutz. That's very, very important, you know, Halacha L'maisa, Hilchos HaMashiach, but Halacha L'maisa, because if we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Shimon, paskin like Rabbi Yossi, right? So the way we have it in our Mishnah, we would paskin that Kadshei Akum do have Temura, do have Pigul Noser and Tameh. The Rambam on almost all of them paskins that Goyim don't have this stuff. So if it's because the way his gears in the Mishnah, which makes sense because the Mishnah and Brisa then actually work together much, much more nicely this way, is that no, actually the Tanna Kamma is the one who's of the opinion that Goyim don't have these things. And then there's a third view of Rabbi Shimon who goes even farther than the Tanna Kamma and says, not only do Goyim not have Pigul Noser, Tameh, etc., they even do not have Shchutei Chutz, but the Tanna Kamma does not go that far. So then you have three views in the Rambam is passing like this view of the Tanna Kamma. So for the rest of the Chabura, we'll put Tanna Kamma / Rabbi Shimon.
Who's the one who said that there is this Girsa?
The Rambam and the Pirsa.
The Rabbi Kiva Eger right there on the side quotes the Shut Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. And Memhei, Zocha Memhei, right there. And it's in the Shittu Gebetzes as well. Shittu Gebetzes has a note, and the Shittu Gebetzes says this explains the Pesach of the Rambam. Exactly. And if you
honestly can't, I'm really bothered by that.
No, so Kalim are bothered by it. If you go back to the... yeah, the Shittu Gebetzes says, look at the Kesef Mishnah. He says, look at the Kesef Mishnah, and now it's fixed. And it makes a ton of sense. It makes a ton of sense to the Rambam, and it makes the Gemara work much, much more nicely, because it explains why of certain things that are in the Mishnah and certain things that are in the Braisa. But so that's for our purpose. We have Tanna Kamma / Rabbi Shimon on the one side, we have Rabbi Yossi on the other side, and Rabbi and the Rambam is paskening that Pigul, Noser, Tameh, etc. do not apply to Kadshei Akum. The Griz, Alatar, in Zvachim, so sure enough, he says that, yeah, this Machlokas Tanaim is exactly about whether Kadshei Akum are a different Chafetz Shel Karban or not. And he says that explains why in the Gemara, the Braisa quotes all these different things. And then
No.
The Rambam says you are chayiv shchutei chutz for Kadshei Akum. Yeah, last Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Korbanos. Right, so there's no pigul, no nosa, no tamei. There's no me'ila. Temura is a mess. But for now, I'll say there's no temura. But there is a chayiv shchutei chutz. Yeah. So the Griz says that this is exactly the machlokas tanaim. He says that's why on that Gemara in Zvachim. So most of the Yom Ramam and Hevet Aleph is Tanna Kamma / Rabbi Shimon talking. Remember, we have a separate makar for every single one of those things. Pigul, Nosar, Tameh, Minayin. And then how does Rabbi Yossi disagree with all of them? So we do not have, you know, we're like one of those really annoying Gemaras where we have, you know, one drasha and then the back and forth seven times. No, Rabbi Yossi, one line of the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi just says, Ro'ani b'kulam l'hachmir, I think that all of them, we should be machmir. Why? Because says pasuk says, Ish asher yakar karbano asher yakrivu l'Hashem. Guy brings his carbon for Hashem, and that is the one drasha that he needs. So the Griz writes, the way to understand the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Yossi, none of this gets off the ground. Rabbi Yossi says, Pasuk tells me that a guy brings a carbon, and it's a regular carbon. So I'm not going to now go through the rest of the Chumash looking for drashos about different dinim. It's a regular carbon. If you're a Tanakama or Rabbi Shimon, and you don't have this lamdis, you think that, no, kachay akum are a different chefza, so now you've opened up a whole can of worms, because we need to ask, okay, it's a different carbon. Well, what are the nakaminas of that, right? Gemara in Zvachim says that a guy can't bring a chazer as a carbon. He still has to bring a kosher animal. So what about, even if it's a different chefza, what about pigal? What about nosa? What about tameh? So all those have to be dealt with one by one. The Gemara says, for Rabbi Yossi, none of this gets off the ground. And one other comment he says, this explains for the Rambam why the Rambam does not use one of the makoros of the Gemara to say that there's no me'ila for kachay akum. The Gemara says there's no me'ila for kachay akum because of they learn out from Truma, I think. Chait from Truma. The Rambam says, no. The Pasuk says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, why is the Rambam quoting this pasuk B'nai Yisrael, that the Torah is just addressing the whole parsha to Jews? So he says, because the way the Rambam understood the Gemara, we are taking Me'ila, taking Kachay Akum out of Me'ila on a much more fundamental level. This is a different chavtza of Karbanos, and it's just a world that Me'ila is not shayach to at all. So that's the Gemara on the view of Tanakama / Rabbi Shimon. This seems to be the view of the Rambam. We'll come back to the Rambam in a couple of minutes. Now, what about the question of Bailin? Right? We need to be thinking about these two questions, the whole sugya. Is it a different chafta of carbon? And is the guy a different kind of owner? How does he relate to his carbon? So if you're Rabbi Shimon / Tanakama and you think that this whole system of carbonos is fundamentally different, yitachin, that the Gayim also relate to the carbon differently. Doesn't have to be the case, but if I was a betting man, that's what I would think. What if you're a Yossi? If you're a Yossi and you think that it's the exact same kind of carbon, right? You bring it to Hashem, Asher Kribu Hashem. So then, well, we still need to ask, okay, the carbon could be the same, but when it comes to how the guy relates to the carbon, we can really think of it either way. Maybe it's a regular carbon and he's a regular bailin. Or maybe it is a regular carbon, but the non-Jew himself relates to the carbon differently than a Jew would relate to. That question already really seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara. Because the Gemara, the end of the Amud, and then going on to Memhamed Beis, asks, within the view of Rabbi Yossi, what is the status of Ritzui Tzitz? And if we have tuma, can the tzitz still save the other carbon bidyab? And the Gemara has three views. The first view, it's kind of a havamina. The Rabbanan wanted to say that if you're a biyosi, there should be ritzoy tzitz. Why not? It's a regular carbon. Rabbi said, people know sartame, et cetera, all the biyosi disagreed, and all seven of the dinim, he said it's a carbon lashem, so it also should have the heter ritzoy tzitz. That's what the Rabbanan wanted to say. They say that, I think, to Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, Rav Papa says there's a specific local drasha that it's not going to apply. You ritzoy tzitz, the parsha was sent specifically to B'nai Yisrael. Lahem, who said, Lahem below la'akum. Okay, you know, I don't know what sweeping conclusions you can make about that. Is that telling you something general about Goyim and Karbanos, or is it just like a local din and ritzoy tzitz? You can't really tell. But Rav Ashi, at the end of the Gemara, has a much, much more fundamental line. Rav Ashi says, even for Rabbi Yossi, who in general thinks that Kachay Akum are in the same system as Kachay Yisrael, why is there no Ritzui Tzitz? Well, says Rav Ashi, because Torah says, L'ratzon Lehem. Karbanos are supposed to be L'ratzon. And he says, Akum Lav B'nei Hartza'a Ninhu. Non-Jews are not B'nei Hartza. Rashi has a line like Hashem is not misratza to their karbanos, within the view of Rabbi Yossi. So this daya, right, Rav Ashi's daya, that there's no ritzoy tzitz for Goyim, is black on white saying that the Goyim, his role in the karban is fundamentally different, because for a Jew, the karban is all about ritzoy, kapara, whether it's, you know, Ola and a shlamim, and it's about becoming closer to Hashem, or it's a chatos and an Hashem, and it's about kapara. although maybe a mix of both. For Goyim, none of that is Shaya. Right? He's not getting reeds away from the carbon. The relationship to Hashem is very, very different for a Kadshei Akum than for a Kadshei Yisra. Now, Yossi actually made a really important, I thought it was a really good ha'ar on the Lashon of the Gemara itself. Lola Hagzim. Because even though the Gemara does say that Lav B'nei Hartza'a Minhu, well, earlier when the Braisa was telling us the din, that there's no Ritzui Tzitz for the carbon of a Goy, it said Lo Hortza. Meaning in general, the way we describe the carbon of a Goy, when it's brought to that's what the din and accepted, would be Hortza. Right? That's the Lashon the Braisa uses. Hortza if it's good, Lo Hortza if it's bad. So we need to be aware that when we say Lav, we're saying at the same time, they're not B'nei Hartza'a, but if it's good, it's Hortza. So what exactly does that mean? It sounds like there's some Ritzoi, but a different Ritzoi. Are we just using Hortza as a language of, as that's just the way to say it was accepted, but there's not actually any relationship change happening here?
It's Hortza. There's a Ritzoi. Again, the question of Ritzoi is always a complicated term that we use. Meaning, mm-hmm. you know, often Ritzoi is synonymous with Kapara, which will then, you know, really blur the line between the carbon as a chetza and the relationship with the Baal. But when you have carbonos which are less Kapara oriented, so the Ritzoi becomes more of like a sort of esoteric type of concept. So then, you know, that I think makes it a little bit easier. But in this case, you would have like an extreme bifurcation in the sense that from a bilo standpoint, the goyim as bilo of carbon, labaneris on it. Whatever ritzoi is accomplished, whatever the carbon is accomplishing, it is not connecting back. It's not the tsuru back to the bilo. Because from a bilo standpoint, it's totally different, which is exactly, you know, what you're pointing out from this line of labaneris on it. Right? Those two things kind of can go hand in hand. If it was that the carbon is not miratze, so then it almost would diminish your point, which is labanei haratzoninu maybe is not a bilus issue, it's a carbon issue. But no, the carbon is hortza. It's just that they are not bnei haratzoninu. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning, I think in some ways that works.
Just playing the chapter gavra question.
That's what I thought
right?
you were
saying. I think that plays into what you're pointing out perfectly. Right? Meaning, if you didn't have both those things, it's like still a bit of an open question. But now that you have both those things, you have like a very clear model, which is the carbon's doing something; it's just not doing it for you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's you. Whatever you say, the question has to be asked. I think that's totally a viable response. Could it also be leading us to have to modify when the Gemara says they're not b'nei hartza? Like. You also just have to ask, even hashkafically, like the guy brings a carbon. We'll talk about this more and talk about whether he has a shame bialim at all. Is there no, you know, impact on Hashem's relationship with a non-Jew whatsoever? I mean, maybe, but you'd like to kind of think that there was, you know. Right, but there's still schar for inu mitzvah of the osa.
You could like get into a lot of like the Rambam, the Chavarim, the Chavarim, and this is like how the guy worships.
I
was going to say, I mentioned this, I don't feel like these people will, but we try in general, I tell you, that if they don't go full in, then it's not counted. We're talking about Machshava, we're talking about Machshava to Yisidaka, we find it by, even by doing certain Averas, so, you know, here as well, if you do totally 100% right, so you have some sort of Machshava, once you're going to start relying on Kulas, then you're allowed to answer it.
Either we come up with different suggestions. Just I thought the ha'ara that even coming out of the Gemara, we have to ask the question. I thought was really helpful, and yeah, we could definitely take in different directions. So we certainly come out of the Gemara in Zvachim. We'll move to Menachos in a second. We come out of the Gemara in Zvachim very, very clearly. Seemingly, this basic machlokas in the Tanaim, whether Kadshei Akum b'chavtza are different from Kadshei Yisrael or not, with a whole bunch of nafkamina, pigol noser, tamim ila, tamura, nisachim. And then Rabbi Shimon, you know, with Shlutei Chutz, and then even within Rabbi Yossi, who says that they're not a different chavtza. So we still have to ask about the status of the Bailim, and that's already a machlokas in the Amorai. And the Rambam is paskening like Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, right? Shlutei Chutz, he doesn't, because he thinks that's a different, that's Rabbi Shimon's minority view, But people know certain tame, Mi'ila Tamura, the Rambam is saying that Kadshei Akum are fundamentally different, and we expect that we'll see more of this as we go. So then we transition to our Gemara, where Rav Huna had the fascinating line that Shalmei Akum Olos Nindu. If a Goy brings a Shlamim, it's an Ola. He gave two reasons. One, he had a pasuk. Second, he's had a svara that libo lashamayim, his heart is to heaven, which needs to be explained. And then it turned out that this seemed to be machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, who said that they could only bring an ola, and Rabbi Yosef Glili, who thought they could bring all sorts of other korbanos, shlamim and toda. And by the way, I think I first learned about the korban toda from the Little Midrash Says, which had the picture of the four people who crossed the desert, who got sick, and then you have to bring a carbon toda. So I thought that the carbon toda is a mandatory carbon, which is the view of Rashi. But we should just be aware, carbon toda, most Rishonim, I think, and this is another riot from this Gemara, that the carbon toda is actually a voluntary carbon. Those could be occasions, but someone who feels, for whatever reason, the Gemara in Brachos talks about those four, but anyone who feels necessity to thank Hashem for some reason, can voluntarily bring a carbon toda. The fact that Rabbi Yosef Glili has the guy bringing the carbon toda is another raya for that view. The carbon toda is a voluntary carbon. Anyway, our sugya, the question is, the Gemara said, the guy libo lashamayim, and therefore his shlum is an ola. So, like, just what is that? What does that mean? What are the words of the Gemara mean? So Rashi, we have Ksav Yad Rashi now, we have Uptop Rashi, but they both basically sound pretty similar. That it sounds like it's a technical issue, that the guy doesn't know any better. The model of carbon he's familiar with is the carbon ola, which is entirely burnt. He's used to carbonos being burnt. So we assume that that's what he had in mind. So then right away you'd ask, okay, so let's say you have a Bible Belt non-Jew who, he knows his Leviticus, and he says, Rabbi, I read chapter 3 Leviticus, I know about the peace offering, and he said, I really, really mean it, that I want it to be brought as a carbon shlamim, and I want the meat to be eaten. So the Karet Oreh says, okay, seems like if he actually tells us that's really what he had in mind, then he can quote us chapter and verse and prove that's what he meant. So no problem, even Rabbi Akiva and Rav Huna will agree that he can bring a shlamim. According to this view, Rav Huna has nothing to do with the whole question. We never should have had this chabur in the first place, because we should have said, Rav Huna is not talking about the status of Kadshei Akum. Rav Huna is just giving us an umdana. 98% of Goyim have in mind the carbon ola whenever they say carbon shlamim. Vizel, nothing else to talk about. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva. No one's getting to this. It's just a question of umdana. Fine. Now, Judah Goldberg in his has an article in that Mamar HaZevach book that the Gush Kol put out a few years ago. Really, really good article on Kadshei Akum. Go back to it, a couple more points of it a little bit later on. He points out that if you look at the Dibur HaMaskil of the Rashi Ksav Yad, the Rashi Ksav Yad is a slightly different girsa than our Gemara. His is not libo lashamayim. His girsa is bid libo lashamayim. That it is in his heart towards heaven. Now, I'm not going to get so excited about that per se, but he points that there's a Gemara in Erechin, which has a very similar question, except there the Gemara does have the lashon of bili b'lashonayim. The Gemara in Erechin is asking, if a guy says he separated truma, so the Kohen in the room is good to know. If a guy says separated truma, so Gemara says we have to investigate what he meant. Maybe the guy actually knew what he was talking about, and he meant to give the grain to a Jew, to a Kohen, and then we'll treat it like truma. But the Gemara says also we're concerned, Shema b'libo l'ashamayim, that what he said truma, what he really, really meant was hektish, right? People meant they give stuff to God. So in their religion, it meant they give it to the priests. But they really meant to give it to God. That's what he thought truma was. So the Gemara says that's the suffix. We're not sure. Did he have in mind to give to the Kohen? Or did he have in mind b'libo l'ashamayim? And then in that case, it would need geniza. The Gemara says we have to figure it out. The Rambam, that's how the Rambam paskins also. We need to investigate what the guy had in mind in that case. So is this the same situation over here? The way the Karen Oreh is reading the Gemara, it is. The way the Karen Oreh is reading the Gemara, literally, it's a Be'libo Lashamayim question. What is he thinking? Now, that whole approach happens to have a bunch of problems. First of all, what about the pasuk? Right, the Gemara said ibay sema svar ibay sema kra, and the pasuk made it sound like a much more fundamental exclusion. Second of all, there's the sugyan zvachem kuf tesa zayin, which quotes another pasuk. Why need another pasuk? So that's a whole thing, but not for now. But there's a pasuk there, uri tzafan uboi tema, another pasuk saying that goyim don't bring shlamim. The Rambam quotes libo l'shamayim, but the Rambam also quotes another pasuk, which makes it sound like a very, very fundamental hafka. The Rambam says, we only bring olos from a non-Jew. We can't bring anything else, because as the pasuk says, I forgot the words, from Ben Nechar, we don't take lechem elokechem. Sounds like an extremely fundamental exclusion. Right? What was the exact line? I'm partially asking on the Karen Orah, and partially saying that the Rambam does not seem to have learned the Gemara that. Oh, did he?
Karen Orah himself acknowledged
that. Oh, good.
Karen Orah was really upset with Rambam.
Okay.
Yeah, he
good.
But I think he also acknowledges that if you accept the Pasuk, then this is only true for the Svarim.
So you'll say those are two different options.
Yeah, Svarim is now like two different options, and he's bought by the Rambam.
Okay, which is not great, because Ibai Sema, Svara is like two totally different. Mahalfim in why it should be.
Well, we sound like that at the beginning when we talked about Motzos Fasecha versus the Svara, that there were two different emphases if you go with the Svara with the Pasuk. We said there were not Gamina in the beginning of Svachim and Minachos. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
so I think that's what the Karen Orah was just trying to get at.
Okay.
I'll tell you the difference. This one.
Okay, Beseder. So I'm happy to have that for. So Karen Orr himself, good. We're happy with Karen Orr. Okay, good. Either way, right? There are definitely points that signal towards a different read in the sugya, and for the Rambam, a different understanding of the line of libo l'shamayim, because the Rambam does quote nachri shehevi shamim akrib nelson olos she'akom libo l'shamayim. But right beforehand, he said from the guy we only take his olos. Shneamar miyad ben nechar lo sakrivu aslachem elokeichem. Right, from the hand of a non-Jew, you will not accept the bread of your God. So that's a pasuk which, first of all, really, really sounds like kachay akum, totally different. We have lachem elokeichem, and then we have whatever the goyim are doing. Right, those seem like two different worlds. So how else can you understand this this line of libo l'shamayim? It's not just a technical limdina. Judah Goldberg also points out that. Even though the Rambam, when he's talking about the Gemara Erechin, he has Bilibo Lashamayim. Again, I'm not sure how much to make of the Diyak, but I just thought it was noteworthy, especially the Rambam. So the Rambam says Libo Lashamayim over here versus Bilibo Lashamayim over there. There it's a question of Lashamayim. It's supposed to hear, saying it sounds more like some sort of objective halos. When I was in YU a bunch of years ago, so Jonathan Ziering and I learned together for a June's month. And we did this again. We actually we were happy to see his article because we thought of a way to read the Rashi, and then he said the same thing. So if the three of us had wanted to suggest. But maybe what Libo Shemayim means is that it's really defining the carbon experience of a guy, objectively. Tying back to that question of B'nai Hartza or not, although I don't think I knew that the Gwern Zachem at the time. But the other way to read it is that Libo Shemayim means it's a form of. It's Yira, there's distance involved, right? He brings a carbon, this is just being given unto God. This is just something that I offer to Hashem. The whole idea of like another level, a level of krisas bris, a level of shutfis, an idea of a real relationship with Hashem, which is symbolized with a carbon shlamim, that's just not something that's at the avodas Hashem level of a non-Jew. Yira versus Ava will be a real way to understand the distinction. Libo Lashamayim versus coming into the Beis HaMikdash, and he points out, Rav Lichtenstein actually says something very similar in his shiur. Rav Lichtenstein says that the same reason why a non-Jew can't bring a carbon shlamim could be the same reason why we saw this earlier this year, specifically the shlamim maybe, has to have the doors of the Heichal open when it's brought. Found the Gemara was that was not true for other karbanos, that the shlamim of all the karbanos most symbolizes the relationship between the Baalim and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's just not a world that's open to non-Jews. Their Avodas Hashem is the Avodas Hashem of Libo Hashemayim. It's wonderful, it's great, but there's a certain distance that's there, and that's what's being captured by that line of Libo Hashemayim. It's an objective halos, it's not a subjective umdah. For sure, that seems to be how the Rambam seems to have understood it. Bissed. Look, could this maybe, you know, could you maybe connect this to the fact that the Rambam thinks that the psak that Gaim are allowed to bring Karbanos and Obama? Maybe, right? Maybe the fact that Gaim don't have the same relationship, it's just a generic offering to Hashem. So look, once the relationship piece is not involved, so the makom hashras hashchina doesn't matter anymore, right? When Hashem is in Yerushalayim, so it's like the biggest chutz in the world for you to say, look, I'm too lazy to go to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm going to just offer a carbon in my backyard. But if the point is not connecting to Hashem, it's just demonstrating your general yira, your general loyalty, right? He's a guy, but he's a monotheist, so he just wants to give Hashem something. He can do it wherever he wants, right? He can do whatever he wants. On the other hand, he can't bring, he doesn't have access to a level of karbanos that we have access. Okay, so that's just a couple of ways to understand that line of libo lashamayim. Now, to plug the basic question we're asking in the Sol Sigya, cheftza of the carbon and the role of the bile in the carbon over here, so you have a number of achronim who try to moderate what Rav Huna said. When Rav Huna said, shalmei akum olos nidu, so they try to moderate him in a way that works very nicely with the view that Kodshei Akum are not different at a chafza level, but are different at a gavra level. Which we said was that seemed to be what Rabbi Yossi was thinking according to Rav Ashi. Rabbi Yaakov David Ilan in his footnote in the Knesset Rishonim, the Minchas Avraham over here, Rabbi Leib Malin, they all have the same idea. And then Knesset Rishonim quotes Mokar Baruch, who goes one step further. And they say, interesting, read the Gemara hyper-literally. Shalmei Akum Olos Nindu. They are a shlamim, but they're brought as olos. The guy is able to create a shlamim. And this actually is a shlamim bechatza. But since he had, you know, whether you would say since he had a mind or whether he just has a certain, his relationship with Hashem is not one that's nitan to the hakrava and the achil of a shlamim, the way it's brought is kulo kali. Mokar Baruch says one step further, he even thinks that it transforms. It's like a shlamim when you matish it, and then it becomes an ola when you bring it. Now, all these views are making like two basic assumptions. One, that the guy is not mufka from these karbanos, right? We don't say there's a track of kachay akum, and that's only ola, and then there's everything else. No, the guy is not fundamentally mufka. The second assumption they're making is that you have this like underlying backstop for all karbanos that they can be kulo kalo. Rosenzweig talks about the carbon ola as like the backstop. All karbanos have like ola in their DNA. So this could be one way of understanding the sugya of asham shenitak l'ri'iyah, that if you separated an asham and then you lost it and you brought another one, and then you found the original. So what do you do with this poor animal? So you go and let it get a mum. But the halacha is that if once you give it to the shepherd, you can just bring it straight to the Beis Hamikdash as a carbon ola. This was an asham. How can I bring it as an ola? So it could be that there's a special relationship between asham and ola, but it could be that that shows that all karbanos in their DNA have the origins of the carbon ola. That seems to be something that these achronim are assuming. They're not mufka on the chefza level, just they can't bring a shlamim with tenufa and achila and everything that comes with it. Their version of it is going to be kulo kal. Now, this does not seem to be the view of the Rambam. As we've seen, the Rambam seems to fundamentally separate Goyim from Kachi Yisrael. And one point in our sugya, which highlights that very nicely, is germane to our like main sugya this, or one of our main sugya this whole year, which is the good old question of Zvachim and Menachos. I think the top Rashi says black on white. Rabbi Lan tried to argue that the Rambam holds like this.
Which he tried to argue, it wasn't very compelling.
Exactly. What was his proof was that a guy can bring can be mafresh a carbon pesach. mean, a guy can be mafresh carbon for a Jew to bring anyway.
Right, but that case was a good... It was a strong question, because he's not mafresh for a Jew. He's mafresh for himself.
So I was wondering what this, you know, could Karban Pesach be different because, you know, going back to that Meshach Chachma we talked about, and I'm not sure. But
the language that he tries to bring from the language of the Rambam and Maaser Kavanos, that was not compelling.
When the Rambam says, Abel Akum in Makab Me'anel Olos Belvat Shenemar V'chule, it sounds like, I didn't see any evidence in there that he thought that the Chafta is a Shlom being brought as an Olah. I thought the Rambam was pretty clearly saying.
The Karban Pesach thing
has to be
again, but the question as to whether or not it's a chefza of a shlomim being brought as an ola or it's a chefza of an ola could still not fall as a distinction. Right? You could still explain those in both directions.
What do you mean?
Whether or not this new carbon is an ola fully or it's a shlomim that we're makriv as an ola, we could still say that as a chefza, it's a similar type of talich to a carbon shel Yisrael. Neither of those are saying that this carbon on a chefza level has to be different because it belongs to a guy.
But the opposite, if you go in assuming that Kadshei Akum is a different chefza, then you'd be much less likely to think that he has access to all different forms of karbanos, they're just brought b'talich.
I understand, but this is a local question as to whether or not this retains the shem shlomim or it only has a shem ola. But both of those could be considered a standard talich of a karban, right? What about that makes it not similar to a karban shel Yisrael?
I'm not getting your question.
I don't understand what you want from this from this point. Meaning, the fact that these achronim assume that what we're dealing with is a korban shlomim which is brought as an ola. What do you want to? How do you want
that works out nicely with the view that kadshei akum bechefza are similar to kadshei yisrael, just the bialim relates to it differently.
Great, but that could also be true if the only thing they can bring is an ola. Because it's not so much that the chefza of the carbon is not similar to a Yisrael, it's just that we limit his accessibility to the range of carbonos to an ola.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that this ola, I'm not sure that just because it is an ola indicates that the chefza is different than an ola from a Jew. What would indicate?
Yeah, that? If that's what you're asking, I think I agree. Are you suggesting?
I thought what you were trying to do is now set up a distinction between these two approaches along the line of the question.
Okay, so then let me clarify. If you think that that kadshei akum are fundamentally different on a chefza level, then you will probably not take this Rav Ilan, Minchas Avram, Rav Leib Malan approach. However, if you think that Kadshei Akum B'Chefza are similar, just the Bailim, on a Bailis level, they're different, it's an open question, right? You could say, look, since they are bringing the same kind of Karbanos, they could bring Shlamims and Todas, etc., just with a different hakrava, because they don't have that experience of ritzui. Or you could say, no, the fact that they can't have ritzui means they can't bring a shlamim. When they bring their ola, it will be the same ola, but you can't talk about a carbon shlamim that's brought by someone who's not getting the ritzui of a shlamim, the shlamim is all about. So that approach, right, that we said the Rabbi Yossi, Rav Ashi approach, that it's Bechavtza, it's like Kadshei Yisrael, just the Bailim relate to it differently. I think there would be an open question. That could agree with Rav Ilan, etc. Or it could say, no. Rav Huna means that Mamash, they can't bring Shlamims because they're not Shayach to that world. Is that address your problem?
I got to think about it more. I'm not seeing 100%, but I'm not.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not wrong.
Okay. So the Rambam thinks that, well, Rashi says that kadshe akum are brought, shamim are brought olos, he says kulo kalel. Rashi says, what happens if a guy brings a mincha? So Rashi says, no problem, the mincha we brought, kulo kalel.
Just to follow on that.
Sure.
So the Rabbi Lan, this approach of the shlamim as the mount is like, you know, it's a shlamim, but it's has a different rabba.
Right.
So the Torah, if you say that kadshe akum, the chatzah, that they're both from the entire parsha of kadshe, and they're a kadshe from different, they're karbanos or the cloud, all the other stories, that makes no sense, meaning.
Right, it's very difficult.
If you say that they're within the same parsha of Israel, but they're just some limitations based on who they are as violent, so then those limitations may or may not affect what kind of carbonos they can bring, they can't bring, how you bring them, what colors is.
Exactly. That's all. That yeah, exactly. Then it's an open question. Right. Right. Which is a very interesting question about the nature of carbon shlamim, because then you're asking, you know, can you have a carbon shlamim that's being brought by somebody who's not been hartzah? Right, that's, which we're not doing carbon shlamim right now, but that's like a very interesting question to think about. You know, Rilan is saying yes, and the alternative is to say no. Once you can't have ritzoy, then you just, you know, your ola, you can bring, the ola is the carbon of yira. And he wants to bring an ola, you know, zaygazun. But he wants to bring the carbon of alva, sorry, he can't do that. So that's an interesting question. The Rambam thinks that the guy cannot bring a mincha. It's black and white, we only bring ola. So this here, I think, also captures this this question. If you think it's just a question of libo la shamayim yira, you know what Judah Goldberg, from Rabbi Judah Goldberg, he's definitely a rabbi, says you know hachna'a, you know, it's just a submission. So a mincha that's kulo kalil seems to capture that experience the same way as a carbon. I think Rav Rosenzweig actually made that point when he was talking about the minchas chavisin. It's a carbon of yira and a carbon of submission. It's not a carbon of shutvis and ava. So if that's the only issue, then you absolutely should be able to bring a mincha and have the kulo kalel. If you think though that no, kadshei akum are just on a different, they're a different system. They're not no gan to whole world of karbanos. We let them bring the one generic carbon that exists. That's the carbon ola. So then that's why the Rambam is going to say. There's no kulo kolel yira option for the mincha. You're in a different system, and that's why all you're getting is the carbon ola. So the Rambam again, it seems to come up. Pigol nosar tameh. The pesukim he's quoting as the Griz is pointing out here as well when he's saying that they can't even bring a mincha and there's no kulo kolel option. It's all adding up to this perspective of the Rambam that goyim are fundamentally mufka from kadshei Yisrael. But as we see, there is also this other view. They're not fundamentally mufka, but even so, their bialis can be different. Okay, so there are a bunch of like nafka mina that you could go through on these topics. I'm not going to have time to go through all of them. You can look at the article. It has a bunch of them, but just to mention some of them very quickly. So one interesting question that I think both. Rabbi Lan Sr. and Rabbi Lan Jr. talk about is the question of lishma. Is there a shinoi bailin for a carbon of a guy? Interesting question. So they both of them quote these Meiris, which say that the carbon is brought lishma, which they assume means both l'shem zevach and l'shem zoveach. They think that the Meiri thinks that there is a requirement of l'shem bailin for a carbon of a guy. They quote a bunch of Achronim who disagree because of this question, which at least Rilan Sr. quoted originally from Rabbi Yeager, but kind of before then as well, who says, well, we know that there's this, you know, epic debate. Are Kohanim the Shluchim of Hashem, or are they the Shluchim of people? Right? Shluch Rachman or Shluch Yidan? So Rabbi Yeager asks, well, we know that Goyim can't appoint people as Shluchim. So if they're Shluch Yidan, how can a guy bring a carbon? Because Kohen is not working as his shliach. So one answer, Rabbi Lan didn't quote anybody who says this, but I think Brand or Kraft can put some people onto this one. Say, yeah, okay, so apparently there's no shame bailim for a guy. And there's no shina bailim, because he doesn't have a shame bailim at all, is the most extreme way to say it. No shame bailim. Rabbi Lan does not like that at all. He one question he asks, he says, look, if there's no shame bailim, So why does the Gemara need to like bring a drasha that there's no temura? Mimilo, there should be no temura because there's no bialim. Why do you need a special drasha that there's no temura? I didn't really understand. He said the same thing about Pila Noser and Tame. I didn't understand that because that sounds like it was a chavtza point.
We didn't understand
I heard you guys saying that. I was learning the same. Yeah, I was learning the same thing. But there is a Shitu Gebetzes, which, you know, Rebellion kind of denies what he says, but the Shitu Gebetzes says that there's no tenufa in the view that a guy can bring a shlamim. So a shlamim has tenufa, right? You do a little waving. And the Gemara says that the tenufa of a guy, the shlamim of a guy doesn't have any tenufa. And the Shitu Gebetzes says, yeah, there's no tenufa because there's no shame bialim. There's no din bialim. Interestingly, the Shitu Gebetzes says the reason why there's no din bialim in the shlamim is because the guy can't eat it. Shitu Gebetzes says since a guy can't eat a shlamim, so he does not have a din bialim, which like really, really is elevating the role of achila for a karban shlamim. Midas HaKodesh quotes a couple of the Meiri, the Karen Ora, actually it's Karen Ora here in Ein Gimel, who think that only the owner of a shlamim has a mitzvah to eat it. If you bring a bunch of people, because that's what you have to do, you're not going to eat the whole cow by yourself, you're going to bring a whole bunch of people to your shlamim party. But it's only the bialim that they think who has a mitzvah to eat the carbon. So the Shitu Gebetzes seems to go one step farther. He says that if there's no mitzvah sachila, if there's no achila, then we can't even talk about being a bialim. It's like those are actually linked. Apparently, is what the Shitu Gebetzes thinks. But that's one question. Think about the most extreme level: do they have a shame bialim or not? The question of mumar. So the Gemara in Hulin darshins. The very beginning of Vayikra says, "Adam Yaakov Mikem," someone right from you brings a carbon. So the Gemara has a double drasha, Mikem from you, below Minha Mumar. Right? Only some Jews can bring karbanos, but not Mumars. And the Gemara says, "Mikem Chalakti below Minha Umos." Then we're only picky. We only refuse the karbanos of a Mumar if he's Jewish. A non-Jewish, an Obed Avodah Zarah is able to bring a carbon. Yes, and I are wondering because the Gemara Kufta Zayin Beis and Zvachim quotes this fascinating story about Ifra Hurmiz, the mother of the Persian emperor, who sends Rava an animal to bring us a carbon, and then Rava has to figure out what to do with it. So we saw the Gemara, and Yossi said, "Oh, so apparently we have a real live case because presumably she was like a Zoroastrian Obed Avodah Zarah, but she's sending carbanos and we're bringing them." But we saw the Lakuti Rashi quoted the Rashbam, who said that she was Karav Lehiskayer. So not so passionate. But either way, what? Yeah, he didn't need to exactly because this question of a mumar bringing a carbon. So Rabbi Lan quotes this machlokas. I'll put it this way: a mumar can't bring a carbon. This is referred to as the psul of zevach resham toev. You can't bring a carbon and then be a rush at the same time. That's like just a massive threat to the sanctuary. So the question is, what exactly does Zerach Hashem Toeva prevent? Does Zerach Hashem Toeva just mean you can't get kapara if you're a rasha? It's like a question of tovel b'sharetz b'yado. It's a tshuva question. Or does Zerach Hashem Toeva mean, much more fundamentally, someone who is a mumar is mufka from the world of karbanos? What's the nafka mean? And nafka mean is going to be karbanos that have nothing to do with ritzui. So he points out that the Rambam and the Raivit argue, you have an ir hanidachas, so everything has to be burnt. And the Rambam says all karbanos are burnt because of zevach resham toeva. It's not a valid karban anyway. And he says that includes bechor and meiser behemah. Bechor and meiser behemah do not have any ritzui. These are just karbanos that because it's the firstborn, it's because there's the 10th animal picked from the stuff that was born that year, you just have to give it to Hashem. But there's no ritzui involved. So Rav Ilan points out that the Rambam and the Raivit, when the Rambam says Zevach Hashem Toeva extends to Bechor and Meiser, so that indicates that the Rambam's view is that Mumar is not just a Tovel B'Sharetz B'Yado Kapara problem. It's that this is a person who is Mufka from the world of karbanos. Once that's the case, so that if that's true, then the fact that a goyish mumar can bring karbanos is very interesting, right? Because that seems to indicate that whether it's because he just relates the carbon on a different level, or whether it's because his carbon is totally different. His carbon is not about Ritsui. He doesn't relate to the same way. It's a different carbon. Whichever tzad you take, right, we're saying a Goyish Mumar is not Mufka from Karbanos in the same way that a Jewish Mumar is. More to say about that one. There's a wild medrash that I found in Torah Shleimah, but we'll leave it for now. What? The Ravid thinks that Zemach Hashem Toiv is a question of Kapara. He says, I don't think that Zevach Hashem, the Rambam is telling you to burn these kachim because there's Zevach Hashem Toevas. He says, no, they're not. I'm not sure what he said that you bring them. I'm not sure what he thinks that you bring them.
It's the role of the Rambam, the whole approach.
Yeah. Okay, there are a couple more. There's a question of Smicha. The Rambam here seems clear that the Rambam in general thinks that Smicha is really something for the Bailim to do. Not just that it's like an opportunity for vidui, but the Rambam, for example, he puts it in Parag Gimel of Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, which is, and that's what we're doing, where it's all about who is eligible to be an owner of Karbanos. And then the whole second half of Parag Gimel is about smicha. So the Rambam seems to think that smicha is like a fundamental role of the Bible. And yet we know smicha doesn't apply for non-Jews, right? Judah Goldberg quotes a couple of Rishonim who give more tactical explanations. Maybe Shidduch Metzah says because Goyim can't walk into the Azara. The Rashi Shans thinks it's because they don't get kaparasis. But the Rambam sounds like it's a fundamental piece of no bias. Okay, there are a couple more. This one last point I think to close is the Hashkadic point we should emphasize here. The Rambam at the very end of Maisa Karbanos chooses that as the time to tell us the halacha that even though you can't bring a guy's carbon, you should teach them how to bring carbons. I think it's fascinating that that's how the Rambam ends Hilchos Maisa HaKarbanos. We know the Rambam, at the end of every Sefer, puts in very strong hashkafic statements. Sometimes he does it at the end of a body of halachos as well. And I don't think it's an accident at all that Rambam does that here. Because what is Rambam doing? Why does he end Hilchos Maisa HaKarbanos by telling us, nowadays, we should tell Goyim how to bring carbons? So partially, that might be because, the Rambam wants to find the one Lamaisa Halacha in Hilchos Maisa HaKarbanos and put that here. But I think that the Rambam also sees a major Hashkafic point as well, and it's something that we should be very clear about. That even though the Rambam says that Kadshei Akum B'Cheftza are fundamentally different from Kadshei Yisrael, it's about Yira as opposed to Av. It's not about Krisas Bris and Ritzui. But don't understand that to mean that they are mufka from the world of Avodos Hashem in general. I think that might be the Rambam, right, by closing Maisa Karbanos, is saying, like, we tell all Goyim how to bring Karbanos Lashem. So that's reminiscent of the Rambam at the end of Sefer Zeroyim, when he talks about how, ideally anybody, Jew or non-Jew, should, if they want, take out time to really, learn and realize how to be an Avod Hashem. That's like, seems to have been a major point for the Rambam hashkafically generally, and he emphasized that, I think, here by putting this at the end of Maisa Karbanos. So we have then the question of the Kadshei Akum and a Cheftza level. Is it the same system or a different system? Whole bunch of nafkamina from that. The role of the guy is a bailim, right? Once again, all coming down to this question, it all seems to come down to the guy is, he's not in the world of Ava, but he is in the world of Yira. He's in the world of Ola, not in the world of Shlamim. At the same time, we shouldn't denigrate that and appreciate what that means. And if you want to see a couple of wild, at least I thought they were wild, I already disagreed, midrashim that seemed to imply a different way, so we can come over and look at that afterwards. But that's all I got.